You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hey, Alan.
How are you?
Good.
Very good. And, you know, we were talking before the show that we might trade John to Dallas. Devin says yes. I say no way. We're not trading John to a Dallas podcast.
We are currently in negotiations. We're going to report it here before Woj gets to it.
What are we getting back?
I don't know. Kristaps?
Dirk.
But I'm healthy and Kristaps has been out for a year.
What about Dirk? Think about it. Dirk's not going to be doing basketball anymore. He's going to have to do something else. Maybe he could podcast with us. It would give us an international reach. It would give us a Hall of Famer.
Oh.
But the salary we would take on does make it very difficult.
Good point. So, you know, yeah, everybody, we're starting this off. Big trade news yesterday. We'll get into it when we get to NBA news and notes, but a little teaser for what's coming up. We're going to talk Kristaps and the Dallas and New York trade. But let's start where we always start with Jazz news, with the Utah Jazz, fresh off of a blowout loss to Portland.
I hate starting these podcasts when you come in a loss, but the Jazz are 8 of their last 10. The Portland one was very discouraging, but it also means that they are still currently sitting firmly at 7th in the West. And so now for them to get to their 50 wins, they need to go 21-9 the rest of the way. Still doable, but harder.
It is doable. And, you know, I watching that game, I had a hard time. I mean, the Jazz defense, I think, was the issue that night. I don't think offense, you can really point at that the offense is really a lot. I mean, they gave up 45 points in the first quarter on 71% shooting from Portland.
Yeah.
How can you do that?
Not trying.
Yeah, I guess. No, and my thing is the Jazz defense wasn't prepared that night. But you can also say that Portland was really hot. And I don't know that you're going to see that kind of a Portland team night in, night out. Portland just had a special night that night.
Well, Portland's been special so far. They're 32-20.
Right.
And as I'm looking at the different playoff projections, a lot of them have either the Jazz and the Blazers tied for fourth, or they have Blazers fourth and Jazz fifth now.
So we could have a first round matchup with the Blazers.
Yes.
I actually don't mind that, really. And if you look at the head-to-head this season, the season series is completed. They're tied 2-2. Yep. The Jazz have actually blown out Portland by a significantly larger margin than Portland beating the Jazz, if you really look at it. There's been one lopsided loss to Portland. The other loss was a 5-point loss. But the Jazz blew them out by 20 and 30, respectively, in the same week back in December.
Well, let's keep in mind that other loss probably would not have happened if Nurkic doesn't go crazy in the third quarter.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, and so now that they're 2-2, you go to division, and Jazz are actually doing better in the division than Portland.
Right.
Jazz are 5-6. Portland is 4-7.
And there is a lot of division basketball left to be played. Jazz still have to face Denver, what, two more times, three more times, two? I think it's two. And they still have to, face Oklahoma City another three times.
Well, let's go to the schedule.
I can't remember. I don't remember if they have played OKC
All right.
once.
They still need OKC, Denver, OKC second, and Denver. So they got OKC and Denver two more times each.
Okay. So, I mean, you know,
and then Minnesota, I think they got
Minnesota,
one more than them
yeah.
too.
So division wise, you still have an opportunity to close with a winning division record. You're probably not going to catch Denver. I don't think the Jazz are going to catch Denver unless Denver has some catastrophic fall between now and the playoffs. I don't think that's going to happen, but you still have a chance at catching Portland. You still have a chance at catching Oklahoma City. Your chances are still pretty good.
Yeah. For Denver to end with 50 wins, they'd have to go 15-17 the rest of the way. That's not going to happen.
No, it's not. So, what was it? All right. So Jazz are in seventh place. They are what, a game ahead of eighth seeded. Who's the eighth seed right now?
Clippers.
The Clippers, who have actually surprised me this year, playing pretty good basketball too. Lou Williams has been good for them. They've had Patrick Beverley was a good addition. They've got some key guys that I think have played pretty well for them. Although I'll tell you, the other night, John, I watched the Atlanta Hawks versus the Clippers game, and it was a fairly high scoring affair, but in my opinion, it was not real pretty basketball. It wasn't really fun to watch all that much.
Well, I mean, the West, you have 10 teams with winning records right now. So the Clippers are going to be battling for that last playoff seed. Lakers are going to get LeBron back soon, and there's all the speculation about, are they going to make any trades? So they'd like to get into the playoffs.
Right.
And then Sacramento is still hanging around. They haven't been in the playoffs forever.
Yep.
But they're not out of it yet.
Just a side note, Bron is back.
Yeah, he is. He played last night.
Oh, he did. Last night. That's right. Yes. He debuted last night. Yep.
And looked good too. So
I saw something run across my timeline in Twitter that or the feed that he had a James Harden step back too.
Yes, yes, he did. And I'm not gonna lie, I love LeBron James, but it was ugly. It was bad. Like Harden's, I can see that it's not a travel. I know it looks like it, but I can tell it's not. LeBron's was clearly a travel.
Steph's was worse, though, and they called Steph's a travel.
No, I think LeBron's was worse than Steph's. I'm just being honest. I have practiced that shot. I can do it better than LeBron James did.
Wow.
I won't make it, but I at least it's not a travel.
Sean, you're listening. I think we need you to confirm this, please. I need video footage of Devin trying the step back.
I'll get it next week. You can tweet it out from the account.
All right, let's look ahead real fast with the Jazz. We're going to look ahead, and then I want to touch on something that we kind of anticipated we'd have to talk about. Three games coming up before All-Star break, right?
No, they've got five more before All-Star break.
Oh, that's what it is.
They've got three more this week. It's actually the beginning of a four-game homestand, and then they go on the road against the Warriors before the All-Star break.
Okay.
So we got Atlanta tonight, Houston tomorrow, then wait a few days, and then you got Phoenix on Wednesday, San Antonio next Saturday, and then Warriors. So that's your five games before the All-Star break.
I'd say that the back-to-back works pretty well in the Jazz's favor because, one, it's at home, and two, you start off with Atlanta and you finish with Houston, but Atlanta's been playing pretty good ball of late, and Trae Young has been really good.
The Trae Young, John Collins combo is looking like it's going to be very promising.
Yes.
The Hawks were in tank mode, but there are other teams that are just so bad that they can't help but win a few games here and there. I'm not that worried about them. They are 16-34, but you do not want to let them sneak up on you.
Nope, not at all.
They've got to be focused for that.
So the next three games, I still think the Jazz could win all three. I think 3-0. You've got to beat Houston at home, which I think is possible. I think it's very good. I think the Jazz's chances of beating Houston are good. I'm going to say 3-0.
Yeah.
You're cautious. 3-0.
I'm cautious because it is Houston, because Harden is playing out of his mind. They still don't have Capella. Chris Paul may or may not play. I really want that game. I really hope they get that game. And we also have this lingering thing, which I think is a good time to bring up now. Trade talks have really heated up with the Grizzlies for the Jazz to get Mike Conley. So we just don't know what the roster is going to be when they play Houston.
Can I, I'm going to hold off thoughts on that for just a second. I wanted to read point something out here. Houston is 6-4 in their last 10, and they have lost one recently. So even though Harden's been playing well, they haven't been playing great basketball as a team. They're just kind of hanging there.
So did you just say they've only lost one recently?
No, they lost. No, that when you look at their streak, their streak is losing one. So they had won a couple, and now they've lost one. But they're six.
They lost to the Pelicans, who didn't have Davis.
Yeah. Yes. So Harden's been playing out of his mind, but let's not put it past Houston. They're not playing great basketball as a team right now. They're 6-4 in their last 10. Prior to that, they struggled a little bit too. So
yeah, but you know that may be a bad loss. But we have to remember that the Jazz have some bad losses too. There was one to Dallas that was really bad.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Yes,
I don't know. You still have the reigning MVP, an MVP contender for the year, and a guy who's scored an average of what,
35 or almost 40 a game,
almost 40 during this calendar year.
Here's why I like the 3-0 prediction. It's back to back at home for the Jazz. It's back to back away for Houston, and they will have played in Denver the night before.
Yep.
So that does set up the Jazz nicely to get that win.
That's actually finally a benefit for the Jazz in terms of scheduling, because it seems like we've been on the wrong side of that throughout this season, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And back to back at elevation.
And not to get too overly optimistic, but it's actually something that helps the Jazz in the playoff push too, because if you win both of these games, say Houston drops both to you and Denver, and suddenly Houston is looking like they're overtake, you know, your chances to overtake them are still there.
Oh yeah. But even if they beat Denver and the Jazz can get the win against Houston,
yep, that's a full game swing right there.
Denver's dropping down a little bit.
Exactly.
Too,
exactly. So lots of full opportunities coming up for the Jazz.
You want my prediction?
Do it. Yeah. I forgot to ask you. Yes,
because,
I did.
Because the last time we did a show, we talked about the Blazers game, and I said it was going to be a half win. Do you guys remember that?
Yes, and it was a half win.
And it was a half win. The Jazz were leading at halftime. So I'm a little less optimistic about the 3-0.
Are you going a half again?
I'm going to go 2.75.
Wow.
Oh.
Houston puts it on in the fourth quarter and wins the ball game. Is that what you're saying?
It could happen. I mean, you know, where it's at in the game, Jazz could win three of the quarters and somehow James Harden comes out a blazing, you know, in the third or something like that. I think there's a good chance for them to win it all, especially if Capella's out. But I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they dropped it either. But so, hopefully scheduling pushes it our way.
So, John, you mentioned lineup. You mentioned the Grizzlies and the trade possibilities. Did you get a chance to listen to Locke's podcast about Mike Conley this last week?
Yeah.
I was hesitant to bring in Conley before that. After listening to Locke, I'm more than hesitant. I say no.
Yeah. It makes me nervous. I look at the landscape, and if you're going to go ahead and trade for a different point guard, Mike Conley is good, but you know, I'd rather trade for someone like Drew Holiday, who also seems gettable. Drew Holiday would probably have a higher price tag.
Yes.
But Conley, you get Conley, you're getting him for 2 years, and you're hoping he can maintain what he is right now in those 2 years, and then you go from there.
And you're paying him 30-plus mil in each of those years.
Yes. Yes, $30 million. So if they did trade for Conley, it would probably be something like Rubio and Favors for Conley and Omri Caspi or something like that.
I'm sorry, but Conley to me is not worth $30 million a year for 2 years. He's not.
Well, he was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago.
I mean, he is a good player. Yeah, if he was making $20 million, I would say yes, go for it. $30 million. Just hard to fathom.
Well, let me tell you this right now, and this is right now. Mike Conley did not participate in shoot around this morning. He is questionable for tonight's game.
Yeah, and who was it? Was it Shelvin Mack's Instagram where he put out a picture of him and Conley sitting next to each other, and then he did like a sad emoji on it or something?
Yeah.
So I think
he's going somewhere.
Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, John, though. If I had a chance and I saw that Drew Holiday is being made available, Drew Holiday to me, I think, is the guy I'd rather have over Conley.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Drew Holiday is great. Conley is a great player.
Drew Holiday is what was he? I don't know where he ended up last year, but in the playoffs, he might have been one of the best defensive guards in the NBA last year in the playoffs. He was one of the reasons why the Pelicans were successful. He's a great defender and fits the MO that the Jazz have.
Yeah, but I don't know that the Pelicans are shopping him actively. I know they're listening.
Right.
Because, you know, when someone calls, you answer the phone and you listen, but I don't know. I don't know that they want to deal him.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Jazz need some kind of trade, even if it's a tweak trade. This would be, you know, high risk, high reward type of thing. I mean, Conley has been a very good playoff player. He's been the main reason the Grizzlies are so annoying to face in the playoffs. And just trying to picture the Jazz with another scorer in the backcourt, a true point guard, and, you know, is that your big three, at least for the next couple of years? Conley, Mitchell, Gobert. Conley's already showed he can be special with Gasol. You put Conley with Gobert and you have this dynamic scorer like Mitchell, and you still have all your other core guys. You know, Ingles is still there, Crowder is still there. There's it's intriguing. You're bowing out of getting a big free agent this summer if you do it.
Right.
But there's also been a lot of talk. Is it better to just go ahead and get a trade with a guy whose salary you own for a couple of years rather than just getting cap space, going for a free agent, and then not really getting anything?
Right.
Let me ask you this, though, because I hear what you're saying. You're getting a quality player in Mike Conley, a guy who is an upgrade, I think, from Ricky Rubio. However, Ricky seems pretty happy in Utah right now. And
yeah.
I heard that little subtle meow.
Now, if we go into the offseason, what are the odds that the Jazz can catch Rudy or Ricky on a deal going forward? I mean, it's possible that he re-signs here, right? This team seems to have a ton of chemistry. So is it worth giving that up and paying extra for Conley if you can get Ricky at, say, I don't know, 20 million.
See, I don't think, even if they don't make the trade and we hit free agency, I don't see the Jazz re-signing Rubio. I actually don't see that happening. If they go in with a ton of cap space, I see them going for big free agents, and I could see them going a different direction with point guard. Ricky's great in so many ways, but the first half of last season, you kind of got to wait for him to catch up and figure things out. That happened again this year, where Ricky just started out just really bad, and he finally seems to be getting it together now. It's like, do you want to do that every year? I think the Jazz are going to go a different direction this summer at point guard anyway.
Well, here's my question, and I'm glad you said that. There's one point guard we haven't even talked about. You know, there's a future we're talking about here still that the Jazz have. And does bringing in a guy like Mike Conley change your future direction with said point guard?
You can't rely on that right now. I am still firmly on the island
of Dante. But for those not wondering, it's Dante Exum we're talking about.
You can't bank on a guy who's been injured.
Right.
And I want him on the team. I still am a firm believer that he is going to be a great NBA player.
Right.
I think what he brings to the table is something that not a lot of teams have. I think his floor, when healthy, is what Sean Livingston is in Golden State. And
fair.
I don't think that you can understate, or I don't think you can overstate what Livingston has meant to that team, truthfully.
Agreed.
But you need someone else. You need someone who's a starting caliber point guard, and you get the best point guard you can in a league that is dominated by the position right now.
Right.
But John, you're saying that you think the Jazz are going to go a different direction at point guard. I'm just looking at who's going to be on the market next year, and there's not a lot. I mean, no. Kyrie's not coming here.
No,
I would love it if he did.
Yes.
Kemba Walker.
I'd love it if we got Kemba.
Kemba.
I like Kemba.
Unrestricted.
Kemba.
I'm not sure if he is or not, but but he's a player I could totally go for.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sign me up. You know, that's maybe one option. I don't think you're going to go the Isaiah Thomas route.
No.
Eric Bledsoe, I believe, is supposed to be a free agent.
No. I see. I've never been a fan of Bledsoe either. I think he's working for Phil Milwaukee right now, but he's one player I never really wanted.
He's the starting point guard on the best team in the NBA.
Right.
With an
MVP candidate and a head coach that is.
Yeah. Who's starting in LA? Is it Rondo or
a Ball?
Or Ball.
Lakers?
Yeah. You know, I mean, they're not the best team in the NBA.
It's Rondo unless he's out, and he's been out for a good chunk of the year.
Okay. I'm looking. ESPN has a nice list set up for team by team for the next 2 years. So, I mean, you've got Jeremy Lin coming out of Atlanta. You've got Kyrie. Terry Rozier is a restricted free agent. I don't see Boston letting him go, especially with Kyrie's statements today, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell is restricted.
And he has been very, very good. Brooklyn's going to have a hard time keeping him this next year as a restricted free agent. Somebody's going to offer him a nice qualifying sheet.
Kemba's unrestricted. Kemba might be the guy to go after.
Maybe.
Let's see who
not
else.
Not if you have Mike Conley, though.
Yeah, I'm saying if you're looking to make a splash in free agency.
Right.
And thing is, I'm looking at ESPN's real plus minus stats for point guards, and Ricky Rubio is ranked 27th, and Mike Conley is 9th.
Okay.
I mean, it would be a real upgrade. Kemba Walker is 12th, by the way.
Right.
So,
I don't know, things to think about. We could spend all day talking about this, really.
What about Tyreek?
Evans? No. Please, no.
He's been playing more wing.
Yeah, please.
He doesn't really play that much point guard anymore.
But can you...
You're talking about shifting Donovan to point.
That's exactly where I'm going. We've seen it happen. Could you make a move like that? You're saying go a different direction as point guard. I know Donovan is not a point guard. I know, but he is learning, and I think he could improve his handling. And let's face it, positionless basketball anymore, right? That's what we're always talking about.
Right.
Could that be the different direction that you go as a team?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Like I said, we could really go on this topic all day long, but we probably ought to move on. Before we go to NBA news and notes, this will actually bleed into the NBA news and notes, but All-Star reserves were announced. And since we're on Jazz news, a certain Jazz player is not going to be in the All-Star game.
Guys, I am pissed.
Well, yeah, all of them. But one in particular that I think we all expected would get selected
comes up snubbed. Should be an All-Star.
No,
absolutely.
John, I'm anticipating Rudy going on an NBA tear in the next coming weeks and months.
He should. I mean, you know, Jazz are winning. Rudy's why. And they decide to go with, Karl Anthony Towns instead?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, Karl Anthony Towns is a good player. He has all the potential in the world. He hasn't been living up to it. Minnesota is a losing team. Rudy's like number one in win shares in the NBA right now. I mean, he just leads all of his categories. I don't get why he was left out. And Klay Thompson honestly hasn't been having that good a year for him. There are a few guys that you could look at and go, why was that guy over Rudy? So it's frustrating.
I mean, to your point of what you're saying, you know, Locke tweeted out last night, Rudy Gobert is number one in the NBA in real plus minus defense, number 86 offensively. Carl Anthony Towns is 27th offensively, 89th defensively. LaMarcus Aldridge is 105th offensively, 215th defensive. There's the guy that maybe shouldn't be on it. That's LaMarcus.
I'm actually looking at the Spurs stats, and DeRozan's actually having a better year than Aldridge.
And he didn't make it either, did he?
No, he didn't make it.
Yeah. So it's, I think it's safe to say, you know, and Jazz fan or not, if you're not a Jazz fan, and everybody that listens to us, I think is, but if you're not a Jazz fan, you should still be disturbed by the fact that the reigning defensive player of the year, the guy who is number one and number two in a lot of categories in the NBA right now, is not an all-star. There's something wrong with that and the way it was chosen. And it's disturbing to me that none of the coaches chose him. That's the disturbing part. These guys play against him every day, and they don't choose him.
Do we know what the totals were?
I don't. I'd be curious.
Because, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me either if someone got injured and Rudy's the very next one in.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, okay, well, let's do this then. Let's transition from Utah Jazz over to NBA news and notes. Let's keep our talk going about the All-Star. Do you want to talk about the reserves real quick in both sides?
Well, most of them were understandable. I had to pull that up.
I remember because it was
Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson, Carl Anthony Towns, LaMarcus Aldridge, Damian Lillard. Who was the other one?
Okay, here it is right here. I got it. LaMarcus Aldridge, Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic, Damian Lillard, Jokic. Klay Thompson, Carl Anthony Towns, and Russell Westbrook. That's your West reserves.
Yeah, I mean, most of those, I mean, usually, most of the All-Stars named, I don't have a problem with it. But when you look at a snub like Rudy, you kind of have to go, oh, come on. So there are a couple that are probably like, you know what, no.
Let me go down the East real quick. Bradley Beal, Blake Griffin, Kyle Lowry, Chris Middleton, Victor Oladipo, Ben Simmons, and Nikola Vucevic. And you know that Oladipo's not going to play, so who is their guy that's going to replace him?
Jimmy Butler.
You think it'll be Butler?
Ooh, I think so.
I don't know. I was kind of surprised Butler's not an all-star. Let's be honest. I mean, who are you going to add?
I don't know. That would be like a third guy from Philly, and Philly hasn't been that happy with him.
Lowry?
Lowry's already in.
Lowry's in. That's right.
Who's the best player on the Nets right now?
It's got to be Russell, doesn't it?
Does it have to go based off position?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's D'Angelo Russell. Maybe, you know.
No, it doesn't have to go off position, but
okay, I didn't know because they have so many spots that are available for front court and back court. I didn't know how that
in, would. In reserves, I don't think it matters.
And we just talked about a guy a minute ago. Did this guy not get stubbed? What about Kemba Walker?
No, he's coming to the Jazz, so people have to overlook him.
D'Angelo Russell, 19.6 points, 6.4 assists.
I mean,
the Brooklyn's going to go to the playoffs for the first time since the whole terrible trade that got them in the hole.
He's been blowing it up since January 1st for them. He's been real good. Since before January 1st, I believe. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who they pull in place of Oladipo. You do have quite a few different options you can go to there. I mean, we've mentioned a couple already. So yeah, the All-Stars all set. Donovan Mitchell will be representing the Jazz at All-Star Weekend, though. Yeah, playing in the Rising Stars or whatever it is challenge that they have on Friday night.
Oh yeah, it should be Kemba. I'm looking at their numbers.
Yeah, I that's what I'm saying. It should. Kemba's the guy I would think should get in there in place of Oladipo. So, all right, that's enough All-Star talk. Let's say we continue on. Let's talk the big trade.
There's a lot of trade talk. We kind of expected that before the trade deadline, but not like this.
No.
So Porzingis has been injured for almost a year now, and we suddenly got news yesterday morning that he went into the front office and said that he wasn't happy with the way things are going and he'd like to be traded. And an hour later, it's reported he's traded. Now that tells me that he probably expressed his concerns to the Knicks a lot more longer ago than when it was reported. And the Knicks kind of wanted to put something out in the media first before this trade thing happened so that they don't look too bad. I think this is one of those trades that could work out for both teams. This could be like the Oklahoma City, Indiana trade of Paul George for Victor Oladipo, or it could have disastrous consequences. Who knows? Porzingis is still recovering from his ACL. They expect that he should be able to actually start playing later this month. If he had stayed in New York, they probably would have just sat him for the rest of the year. But Dallas will reevaluate him, and it's going to be him and Courtney Lee and Tim Hardaway Jr., who all have at least 2 years left on their deals. Porzingis is going to be a restricted free agent this summer, but the other two have at least another year on their contracts. And they were traded for DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, who both expire this summer, and Dennis Smith Jr., who had been expressing displeasure. And then Dallas is also going to send him 2 first-round picks. Now, Dallas still owes a first to Atlanta, so those two picks might not happen until 2021 and 2023. But, you know, New York's been losing for a long time. They, you know, maybe they're worried about signing Porzingis to the max deal when you just don't know how he's going to be after this ACL. But mainly, I think New York is doing this so that they can have all the cap space in the world this summer to land 2 max guys in free agency. I think they're going to do everything they can to get Kevin Durant to come. If Durant comes, Durant will surely be able to get a second guy to go with him, whether it's Kyrie Irving or somebody else. And then the Knicks are suddenly relevant again. Meanwhile, Dallas is going to have Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis. That should be a fun duo to watch for years to come.
So I just shared something with the two of you because 2 thoughts on this trade that are completely unrelated to what you just said. One, interesting to me that Enes Kanter still remains in New York and that I don't know. I have some funny joke involved in here, but the other one is the one I just sent you. Somebody tweeted yesterday they should bring in Dario Saric and bring in the Euro trifecta and call it Luda Chris.
That would be awesome.
Oh my.
So no, I think this is a good trade. This is also, by the way, this is also a reminder why the Jazz need to continue to improve and get better, because when Kristaps, if healthy and if returns to decent form, Kristaps and Luka on the same team, Dallas, that suddenly that team's gotten very, very good.
Well, from like you said, John, what I read was a rumor that Porzingis had actually been cleared to play. So the Mavs will reevaluate. But, I mean, like you said, we've got the All-Star break coming up. He could return very soon if that's the case, at least in a limited role.
My question to you, too, John, is this, and both of you can chime in on this, too. Does this make Dallas an immediate playoff contender this year or no?
A playoff contender?
Do they get in as a 7th or 8th seed this year or not yet?
No, I don't think so, because it depends on if he plays and it depends on how he comes back to form. That's where I'm at, John.
I think they're too far back to get into the playoffs. Plus, it's going to be at the bare minimum, it's going to be weeks before Porzingis actually takes the floor. And when you look at how the race is heating up, you're probably going to need to have 45 wins to make the playoffs. So Dallas will have to go on this incredible run. I just don't see it. But I think they're setting themselves up nicely for next year.
Agreed. Okay. We've talked a lot of Dallas. We've talked a lot of this trade. Next up, Anthony Davis. We all saw this coming, didn't we? That he was going to demand a trade, that he was going to want out, that something was going to happen.
I'll admit I wasn't sure.
I
expected a little more from Davis, to be honest. He seemed like a guy who was willing to lead his own team, and he comes across as a leader. I think really the problem and the nail in the coffin for this may have been what happened with Boogie. You know,
yeah,
the Pelicans kind of seemed to blow that, because it sounds like Cousins wanted to be there, Davis wanted him there, and they didn't trust in him getting healthy and coming back, which I can kind of understand. But you know, you have to keep your star player happy, and even when you do that, as we've seen in Utah, it doesn't always work out.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, New Orleans, they knew they had to win. They made the playoffs without Boogie, and they also knew if they re-signed Boogie that they weren't going to have him for the first half of the season, and they just didn't want to wait around for that. So I can understand why they moved on, but you can't go through another losing season with Anthony Davis on your team.
I got one here for you. Everybody's talking about L.A. for AD, or talking Boston, which sounds to me like Boston's not going to be an option, because per report I read this morning from Shams that AD says, look, if Boston takes me, it's short term, I'm out. So Boston ends up not being an option. LA seems to be one talked about here. I'm going to throw this in here. What if KD walks and goes to New York, and suddenly Golden State's looking to bring somebody in? So you decide that KD and Boogie work well together again, and you do that.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, what if
Boogie to New York?
No. What if Boogie and KD played together in Golden State with Steph Curry, and maybe you just let KD walk, you shift Draymond Green around, and you just count on Thompson not sticking around.
Okay. I think you're mixing up KD and AD in there. Yeah.
Did I say KD and AD? Forget it. Never mind. Forget it.
So Davis to the Warriors? No, I don't think he would do that.
I'm just saying, what if he could? I mean, you talked about the love affair that he has with Boogie and wants to play with him. But what if that were ever an option? Steph, Boogie, and AD. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But why would you put that out in the universe?
I know. Well, I'm sorry. I'm just having fun here.
I think Davis does want to go to the Lakers.
Yes.
Really. And the Lakers just don't deserve the luck that they get, but that's just because of the city they're in.
Yep.
You know, New Orleans doesn't want to trade Davis to the Lakers. Nobody wants to send their all-star to the freaking Lakers.
Nope.
But so I think they're smart to kind of like wait for Boston. Now there's a risk that we could get to the summer, Boston decides, you know what, Jason Tatum is just playing way too much. We don't really want to give him up, so we're going to try other things. And maybe the deal isn't as good as they thought they were going to get. Boston just has so many assets. You see Davis's, whoever the source was to Shams that says it would be a rental, Boston, I think, would still like to go for it. But Boston has to look recently. I mean, they went for it with Kyrie Irving, and we're finding that that's actually souring. And right. I think a lot of that has to do with Hayward, with his injury, and it's been very slow for him to come back. He is still not the player that he was two, right. 3 years ago.
I mean, everything aside, guys, I was just joking about AD to Golden State. I'm the ever pessimist when it comes to Golden State and anything like that, thinking they're going to, just like we all love to hate the Lakers. I mean, I'm getting to that point with Golden State too, that I'm worried that they're going to find some reason to buy the right talent every single year, because they've got the money to do it. And we're going to be looking at an upward battle against Golden State every year for years to come. I'm the ever pessimist on that one. So
I think KD will move on. I think
so do I.
And when he does, I think the Warriors will keep Draymond, keep Klay, and there will be another really talented player that they're going to be able to land and sign with them, who is not going to look at his bandwagoning because KD left. So whoever comes in, and if the Warriors still win, then they will get credit, and it won't be like KD joining the best team in NBA history.
Oh, and they'll still get, you know, the guys in their twilight years looking for a ring on a veteran minimum deal,
i.e. Richard Jefferson, i.e. Yeah,
David West.
Yes, exactly. So no, that's fair.
You know where Anthony Davis should be traded to?
Where?
And New York was actually on my list.
Okay.
Because I started thinking about, oh, if they can bring someone else in, you know, keep him happy next year. And it would have honestly worked really well with the Porzingis deal. Now, I don't think New Orleans would have done the deal because of the rumors that were out there from what Shams had said, where Porzingis would take a qualifying offer and leave all that money on the table. Not likely with, you know, $150 million to be considered, but you never know. But Davis should be pursued by the Toronto Raptors.
Ooh. Ooh.
I like that.
Yeah, so do I.
If you move Valanciunas and some of their younger guys, what's his name? OG or Siakam?
OG Anunoby.
Siakam. That's a tough sell, though. Siakam's been very good for them, and I have a hard time believing they give him up.
For Davis? Yes, you do.
You?
You move anyone.
Okay,
for
I mean,
Davis.
I get that for Davis. I just watching the way Siakam has leveled, you know, moved his play up. You're right. You can sell high on him right now, but he's just been so good for them.
And I know it's a 1-year loaner thing, and this could completely blow up in Toronto's face after this year because Kawhi's a free agent after this year, right? Or does he have one more year?
Player option. So, yeah, he's a free agent.
I actually thought that he'd only rent this year, but I'm kind of getting the feel from that. In my opinion, I think Kawhi stays.
But let's.
I think it all depends on the playoffs.
Right.
Think about this, though. If you have Lowry, Leonard, and AD, you are easily the favorites in the East, right?
Yes.
Yep.
And I believe with AD on that team, you're suddenly in contender status.
Oh, you're automatically in contender status. And to be honest, I think you scare the living daylights out of Golden State.
I wouldn't disagree.
Yep.
And like I said, sure, maybe it blows up. But if you can convince Leonard, say, hey, we're going to trade for AD. All we need is you to promise you'll at least stick with us for one more season. We'll make this move. You have two shots at a title.
And Toronto's got some good depth and good defensive depth. Their second unit is scary good when they come off and play, you know, and she plays some scrappy defense and things on the floor. That team's well-rounded. So you add AD to it, you're right. Suddenly, whoa, watch out.
If you have a chance at a title, even if it's a 2-year window, I think you absolutely have to seize that. Like if you were the Jazz, wouldn't you seize that opportunity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to.
And you know, I mean, there's a lot of teams that could. I mean, you could say that with Utah. Utah should trade whatever they need to as long as they keep Rudy and Donovan to get AD and have a shot at a title for 2 years in a row.
Right.
But the thing with Utah that makes it different is you're in the West. It's going to be a lot harder.
Agreed.
In the East, I don't see anyone stopping Toronto if they make that move.
Interesting that Toronto has the third highest payroll in the NBA. Wow. And if you trade for Davis, they'll probably become. I mean, first of all, what can Toronto offer New Orleans that they would like? If I'm New Orleans and Toronto's calling me, bare minimum, I have to have OG and Siakam and two first round picks. And then you have other salaries thrown in to make it work. Jonas V makes sense, but then you still need to find another $6 or $8 million. Serge Ibaka works, but Serge has another year left on his deal, and I don't know if they want Serge for a year and a half.
How much is Poeltl or Wright making for them?
Poeltl's not there.
Poeltl's not there anymore. That's right. They moved Poeltl. That's right.
Wright's still on a rookie deal.
Okay, he's still on his rookie deal. I forgot they moved Poeltl already. That's right. My bad.
Wright is, yeah, he's still on a rookie deal. CJ Miles, if they did Jonas, CJ Miles, and Jonas and CJ both have player options,
right.
So who knows? And then OG and Siakam, and then they trade for Davis and some other $1 million a year player.
Right, or picks.
And picks. Bare minimum picks. So they could throw in, you know, I don't know, Ian Clark or Tim Frazier, or it doesn't really matter who.
And you can throw a third team into this to make it work.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
You know, that we've seen that done plenty. And I'm sure there would be a lot of teams willing to facilitate. As long as Davis does not end up in the West, I think West teams will say, yeah, sure, we'll help you out.
Right.
I would.
Yeah.
This moving him, bringing him to the West is just another reminder of the disparity between West and East. This is why even moving KD back to New York, if and when that happens, you still have a long ways to go before that disparity is evened out. A long ways to go.
Well, yep. We've talked about New York a lot. We've talked about Anthony Davis. Let's do a quick touch on Boston. Kyrie, beginning of the season, says, hey, I plan on re-signing in the summer. Everyone cheers. Here we are, 1st of February, and Kyrie says, I don't owe you.
I'm thinking about my options. Yeah. What do you think, John?
Yeah, the whole leadership thing just isn't working. I think he's out of there. And I'm really surprised that it's worked out this way. I mean, Boston, they're going to have home court advantage in the playoffs. You know, they have all these assets. They have all these promising young guys. Kyrie was supposed to be their leader. Him and Horford and Hayward were going to be the veteran three leaders. Hayward has not been worth it. Yes, injuries happen, but here he is in his second year and he's coming off the bench and averaging 9 points a game. That is just not what Kyrie signed up for. And, you know, he can exercise his option this summer. Horford could exercise his. I would think Horford might actually want to. I don't know what Horford's going to do. But basically, Boston is souring on Kyrie. Bill Simmons went on a rant about him this morning. Boston is amazing. It's amazing how everything seemed to be lined up for them, and now it just seems to be falling apart. They could get AD and Kyrie this summer, but if Kyrie doesn't re-sign, then they're trading for AD and what? Then
right.
Maybe you're good enough with AD and Horford, and hopefully Hayward is better next year, and then Terry Rozier goes back to the starting lineup and.
Well, and then you're talking Kyrie, then there's grumblings that Kyrie ends up in LA. So it's LeBron, Kyrie, and AD playing together in LA. I've seen some people talking about that as an option too.
That's gross.
I'm not disagreeing.
The problem with that, my biggest problem with that is if Kyrie, LeBron, and AD are all playing together, I am a fan. I am sorry.
I know. Well, that's the hard part. You can't be a Lakers fan, but you have to be for that situation. I agree. It's fun basketball. And I've read reports that Kyrie and LeBron are willing to patch things up and want to play together again. And I think this is not outrageous, John, that it could happen. We don't want it in Lakerland. We don't want them to be that lucky, but it's possible.
Man, why couldn't it be on the Clippers?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, can you imagine?
Oh, all right.
Why couldn't it be in the East?
Enough trade talk. We talked Memphis, Conley and Gasol already. I think we touched on that. The Oladipo, we mentioned he's not playing the All-Star game due to injury. Do we want to touch on Oladipo at all? I'm really sad to see this happen to Oladipo. I mean,
well, Indiana was third in the East when he went down.
Yep.
They've lost four in a row. They're just going to plummet on down.
Yep.
They're going to be a first round exit. And it's really sad because Indiana was a feel good story this year. It's really just a shame. So Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, Boston, they are locked in for home court and first round wins.
Are they making the playoffs?
Or, Indiana?
Yeah. Or do you think they free fall all the way out?
I don't think they're going to free fall.
You're calling the East that the 8th seed and sometimes the 7th seed has a losing record.
Yeah,
Indiana's 32-19 right now. Yeah, I think they still make it.
They have to fall really hard, Dev, for that to happen, and I don't see it happening.
I don't know. I watched them play. They didn't look good.
And really quickly, before we touch on the quick look at East and West, I just shared with the two of you, it was just reported, and so now we know what's going to happen, at least in the case of Oladipo's injury. But two spots have been reserved in the All-Star game for Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade to say goodbye. So Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki will be playing in the All-Star game or will be on the roster.
Cool, but if you're going to do that, you might as well do one for Vince Carter.
How do you not do that for...
Guys, relax. You know? He's going to be in the honorary dunk contest.
No, Vince is going to be playing next year. Vince is going to like join the Bulls or somebody and play again next year.
Probably.
I was going to say, they just lower the rim to 9 feet, and then he can do the same dunks that he was doing 20 years ago. Yep. He can still dunk, but he doesn't have quite the elevation, so they'll make an exception for Vince.
So do you both like this move, though? I do. I think it's good.
It's fine. Okay. It's All-Star Weekend. It's a celebration of your stars. It's fine. And whatever.
Okay. Here's the thing. The All-Star game has been forever used as a measure of who should be into the Hall of Fame, right? Uh-huh. And when fan voting came around, it just became nonsense. And that argument should have gone out the window at that time. It's still a criteria, though. And you look at situations like what's happened to Rudy. Rudy should be an All-Star, but he's out. So I'm fine with this. I actually really like the move. They should have done this for Kobe Bryant in like the last four seasons of his career rather than having him get in on fan votes.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You know, but something needs to be done to figure out this. Is the All-Star game a popularity contest? Which, yeah, I get it. You want people to tune in. Or is it going to be your criteria for being in the Hall of Fame? Rudy Gobert will be a Hall of Famer. Don't get me wrong. But you know what I'm saying? Like, how are you going to use these things? That's what needs to be addressed. But I do like the league giving these guys one final farewell, and I think they should do that for certain legends. Some people think they're legends, and they shouldn't be.
Yeah. All right. Quick look at the standings, John.
Yes. Let's do the East first. Kind of already did. Right now, it's Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, Indiana, Boston, and they are all clearly above. Now, Indiana's going to fall. Your 6-8 seed right now is Brooklyn, Miami, and Charlotte, and Miami and Charlotte have losing records.
And Brooklyn's on the rise.
Brooklyn is on the rise. They've won 7 of their last 10. They're a feel-good story. Whoever gets Brooklyn, that's going to be the only competitive first-round matchup.
Agreed.
And then your lottery teams, I mean, Detroit, what is going on there? Washington, you know, with all the talks of Mike Conley, I think Otto Porter is also going to be on the trade block, so we'll see what happens there. Orlando, Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, New York. In the West, you have Golden State, Denver, which is only a half game behind. Then you have Oklahoma City, who's won 6 in a row, Portland, San Antonio, Houston, Utah, and Clippers. And then still with winning records is the Lakers and Kings. And then your teams that are out of it are Minnesota, Dallas, New Orleans, Memphis, and Phoenix.
Memphis surprised me the way they've fallen. Holy cow, have they taken
they had a really strong
dive.
Start and then just cratered. Yeah. It's been amazing.
It's like that Eminem song, Back to Reality.
Yeah.
That's an Eminem song?
Well, I'm thinking of thinking of an older song that was before Eminem. It was the Back to Life. Back to reality.
But then I remember the Lose Yourself line. You're right. I got it. It's all good.
But no, I'm not going to lie. That watching the free fall of Memphis has made the Jazz's losses to them earlier in the season just sting that much more.
It just makes it sting that they were scheduled that early.
Yes.
We had all four Memphis games in the last second half of the season. They had all four big
case. Gosh, yes, they would.
Dang it.
All right. Well, that's your standings East and West. That's your NBA news and notes. Moving on to Devin's quick hits.
Oh, let's do quick hit. Let's keep it light since there's so much going on in the NBA. Let's talk about the
upcoming
the Rams game.
Yeah, the Super Bowl.
No, the Rams game.
It's more than a Rams game, but yes, go ahead.
Let's talk about the Rams game. Everyone wants the Rams to win. Do you think the Rams win?
Are we picking our winners of this game now? Is that what you're doing?
I will be rooting for the Rams. I think the Patriots are going to win. I even have a Rams hat.
So I'm rooting for the game to be good. That's what I want. And I'm with John, though. I just think Patriots are going to win another one.
I want the game to be good, and a good game would be where the Rams win 100-0. that's a good game. This is weird.
Yeah, there's something to that.
This is a weird game for me because, in my opinion, neither team should be there.
Why? Watching that, the Patriots clearly beat the okay, go ahead.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Everyone knows why the Rams shouldn't be there because of that blatant no call on the pass interference that would have essentially ended the game. They run down the clock, they kick a field goal, it's over.
Yep.
The reason that the Patriots should not be there is because one guy for Kansas City doesn't know where to line up. You remember that? Towards the end of the fourth? Lines up offsides. They intercept the ball. Game over. Oh, wait.
He jumped off sides.
He didn't even jump. That's,
I know, he lined up wrong.
It was a neutral zone infraction.
But that's why Kansas City doesn't deserve to be there, because they obviously made a mistake, a critical one.
They didn't. One man, and I am putting it on that one man. Not even his whole body, just his hand. That's why I'm struggling with it. So I don't know. Are you more excited? Let's put it between the three. The game, the halftime show. I believe it's like Maroon 5 and a ton of other people, or the commercials.
All of the above.
In order, the game, the commercials, the halftime show.
Yes, I'm right there with John.
You
yes.
just said all of the above.
I said all of the above, but if I'm going to rate them in order, I'll do it with John because I agree.
Fine.
Also, I'm going to ask a question, Devin.
I really don't care about the halftime show at all.
Devin, I'm going to ask a question here, and you're going to have to swallow and be objective in your answer. If Tom Brady goes out with another win in a Super Bowl.
Bless you,
John. Wow. So if Tom Brady wins yet another Super Bowl, that's number 6 for him, right? Or is that number 7? 6? Is he the greatest quarterback ever?
Do you want my answer?
Objective, not the I hate Patriots answer. Objective.
Tom Brady is a system quarterback.
You should have seen the look on his face when he gave that one. John, answer the question for me. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, he's a system quarterback. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, he's the greatest. I think he's the greatest anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been to 9. This is his 10th Super Bowl.
Yeah. And he's if he wins.
And even if he finishes 5-5, he got to 10 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And no one's won more than 5 anyway. So if he gets his 6, yes, absolutely set in stone. Even if he loses, I still kind of have to think he is.
And it's hard for me to swallow because there's a certain quarterback that I look back on fondly who played for the 49ers that is up there as one of the greats and I thought was the greatest of all time. But you can't argue. I mean, Joe Montana was fantastic. But what Brady has done, what Brady has accomplished over 2 decades of football, let that sink in. 2 decades, what he has done, I think bar none is better than anybody else.
Yeah, Joe won 4 Super Bowls. He never did get to any more than that. He won every Super Bowl he got to. I don't like how, and see, I look at it like the LeBron thing. People criticize LeBron's not as good as Michael because Michael has 6 rings, LeBron has 3. But LeBron got to more NBA finals than Michael ever did.
9.
Michael's still number 1 for me. But, you know, Yeah, you can't just dismiss that he got there nine times.
And there's only one player in NBA history that's gotten to more NBA finals, I think, than LeBron at this point, and that's Bill Russell, isn't it?
And that's Bill Russell. And when they started going to the playoffs, there was only, like, I think there were only eight teams total in the NBA.
Yeah.
So a whole different world.
Go ahead, Dev. But go ahead.
Look, okay. Again, Tom Brady is a system quarterback. Michael Jordan was a system player, okay? Let's be honest.
Oh, you've got a compelling argument that
Yes, you do.
Listen, look at the coaching situations.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could argue Bill Belichick's one of the
Belichick the whole time.
One of the top, if not the best coach.
Well, now my argument's backfiring because I like him even less. All right.
Sorry, Dev. I know the hatred seething from you for the Patriots, but come on, man.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying. Wow. I get it. I get it. So they're really trying, and they've done it well. They've cheated very well.
Hey, they got caught. I'm just saying that. They got caught. There are more than them that have cheated, I'm sure, but they got caught.
Look. All I'm saying is I hope the commercials are good.
Yes.
And the Rams win. Yep.
All right. Is that it?
That would be nice.
Is that it for quick hits then?
Is there anything else? I mean, we've covered everything.
Oh, we
NBA.
Have touched a lot.
Let's call it good with that.
All right. Moving on to pop culture. John, you saw a movie.
I did. We didn't record last week or we would have talked about it, but I did see Glass. It was one of my most anticipated movies of the past few months. The reviews were bad, so I was able to go in with low expectations. Have either of you seen it?
I have not. I'd like to.
I've not. I've heard it was really good from some people, but I've also heard from you that it wasn't as great, or that's what some of the reviews were. So I'm curious.
Yeah, I have a couple friends who loved it the whole way through. It's a sequel to Unbreakable and Split, and I'll say this right up front. My wife never saw Split, but she thought she would be okay. She came out of there just hating the movie. She said, usually if you hadn't seen a previous movie, the sequel will try to generally give you an idea of what's going on and explain some things. And she said Glass just did not do that. She just did not get it. So I would say if you haven't seen Split, don't see Glass first. You got to see Split first.
I haven't. When did Split come out?
Last year, I think.
Yeah, I think it was just last year.
Okay.
Split's a lot of fun. Unbreakable, I think, is great. I think Split is good. And Glass, let's just say, is the weakest of the three. I mean, I really enjoyed a lot of it. I was more than halfway through the movie going, this is good. But it just kind of falls apart because M. Night Shyamalan gets back into his bad habits. I'll put it that way. it's like the bigger M. Night Shyamalan got, the more pretentious his movies got, the worse they got until they just became unbearably bad and he kind of had to reboot himself.
I see bad movies.
Yeah. So you have Kevin, who is the guy who was Split, you have him. You have David Dunn, who is Unbreakable, who's Bruce Willis. And then you have Elijah Price, also known as Mr. Glass, Samuel Jackson. About a half hour into the movie, all three of them wind up at the same mental hospital. And there is a psychiatrist there, played by Sarah Paulson, who specializes in dealing with people who are delusional about being superheroes. And the movie does a lot of explaining people who are delusional about being superheroes, explaining the history of comic books. And he also does this thing where when Sarah Paulson's talking and she's looking at a character, she's looking right in the camera. So we are the other character's POV. And I kind of got tired of Sarah Paulson looking directly into the camera and over explaining everything about comic books and superheroes and it kind of got really repetitive. And then in the third act, which is supposed to be your big climax, was just sloppy and all over the place and really frustrating. there is a lot that I liked about it. I think this is Bruce Willis's best performance in a while. This is Samuel Jackson's. It's one of my favorite characters of his because he doesn't rely on a lot of his usual Sam Jackson-ness to play the character. I really liked him. And James McAvoy is really good as his. So Shyamalan's really good with those three actors. Sarah Paulson's character is so poorly written that I don't think I can really fault her performance against her. But there are just some logical jumps that even in the world that this movie has built up just don't make sense. So overall, I'm like glad I saw it, but I can't say it's a good movie.
Okay. Well, it's one that's been on my radar, but now that you say I need to see at least Split, if not Split and Unbreakable first, then maybe I'll take a gander down that road first.
Yeah, definitely.
So
Split's good on its own anyway. And, you know, now that Glass has come out, the thing with Split is it was a twist at the end for you to find out that this is in the universe of Unbreakable.
Okay.
Because it was, everyone thought it was its own movie. And at the very end, Bruce Willis shows up and you're like, oh, this is in the same universe as Unbreakable. And the movie's over.
Right.
So now they're all together in this movie. And, you know, it's cool to see them all together, but I just wish that some producer had come along and
right.
made suggestions on rewrites and really clean this thing up.
Okay. All right. Well, that's your movie to see, or maybe not to see, wherever you might fit in that category. I'm trying to think. I haven't seen a movie, but I got to tell you, John, I have invested in a series on Amazon Prime that I think I would suggest. Bosch.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that.
Chris?
No.
I haven't, but
no, it's based.
I'm aware of it.
Yeah, it's based on a. So I've got a friend at work who got me into the series already. He brought a book for me to read called Angel's Flight, written by Michael Connelly, and it's one of many books he wrote based on the character of Harry Bosch, an LA detective with the LAPD, and it's the book. It took me 3 days, 4 days to. I just went through it real fast. I know some of you out there thinking, man, 3-4 days is a long time. But for me, when I read when I have time, and let me tell you, I went through this one pretty fast. I couldn't put it down. So I decided after I read it, I'd start with season one of Bosch on Amazon Prime. And I'm impressed. It's turned out to be very good. The cast, John, I'm going to go out here for you because I don't know some of these folks. The lead character.
Titus Welliver.
Yeah, I knew Titus Welliver. He was the only one I really recognized at first, but so it's developed for Amazon by Eric Overmyer. You know who that is?
Nope.
Eric Overmyer, writer and producer for shows that have included St. Elsewhere, Homicide, Life on the Street, Law and Order, The Wire, New Amsterdam, Man in the High Castle. He's got quite the resume of shows he's done over the years. Where's the cast? I was going to bring it up.
Oh, quick. Lance Reddick. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've got, let's see, Titus Welliver, Jamie Hector, Amy Aquino, Lance Reddick, Madison Lintz, Sarah Clark, Annie Wershing, who is Officer Julia Brash. Really liked her. Brasher, I really liked her character in this series so far. And Jerry Ryan. And then they get a bunch of recurring cast members and such, but it's really to me has turned out to be a good show. And being that it's all about the LAPD, you get to see, you know, I mean, it's all based fictionally, but there's so much reality to it as well. And you just find yourself in the setting of LA dealing with some of the issues going on. And the series is good. The book I read is good. I'm going to be reading more of Michael Connelly's books because I've really been impressed.
Now, what is the pattern of it? Is it a season per case, or is every episode kind of a standalone? Or how
so
does it go?
It is a season per case or cases. In the case of season one, there was a dual set of cases that were being looked at that kind of spread over the 10 episodes. So, and the episode lengths are right around 40 to 48 minutes, roughly. Some of them are closer to 40, some are a little bit around 48. But it takes the entire cases themselves will take over the spread, at least for season one, the spread of the entire season. I'm also reading that each season is based on one, two, and sometimes three of the books that Michael Connelly wrote. So they're kind of combining books and cases in this to kind of give you a look-see into the universe. Mm. So it's been really good so far. I highly recommend it for anybody that hasn't delved into it. And then the minute I delved into it, I had quite a couple friends on Twitter that responded to me, said it's really good and that I should enjoy it. And so far I have. So again, that's Bosch and it's on Amazon Prime. So, Devin, anything else you wanted to throw in there, Mr. Netflix binge watcher?
I've been a little busy, so I haven't been watching a lot. I started watching The Office.
Okay.
Because I've seen bits and pieces of The Office, but never really sat down and watched a full episode because, you know, commercials on TV and I've had other things. So I made it through season one. I'm enjoying it. I've heard it gets even better, so I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, that's what I'm doing, is just kind of taking that here and there, and I've been adding some different things to my list. Do you guys want to know like the things I'm considering watching?
Yeah.
And maybe there's some shared interests here. Let me hurry in and log in, take a look. I wanted to see Roma because I heard good things about that. I saw Ant-Man versus the Wasp was on there.
Yep. It's a great show. Have you seen the first one?
I have not.
You need to see the first one first.
Oh, okay. That's why I'm bringing it up. Wanted to check. Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes.
Want to see that. That's on my list.
That seems to be really popular right now.
I've seen discussions over social media about it, and I've talked to a few people that watched it. It's very good, I've heard.
What else was I looking at? There was one, I think it's called Derby Girls. There was just one season. It was like six episodes. Takes place overseas. I'm thinking I'll watch that one. I tried watching it one night and just got distracted, so didn't follow through. That one may be next as my one to follow through with. But that's pretty much where I am now. Anything else that I should be considering? Like there was like the greatest party that never happened. I don't know how you even pronounce it.
That's the Fyre Fest one.
Yeah,
I saw that.
There's one on. I want to say Hulu has one and then Netflix has one, and I've heard that the Hulu one is a little better, but I am interested in watching both. Basically about a guy who was going to put together a giant musical concert and it wound up being one big con.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't put it on my list, but I did see it. It piqued my interest a little bit.
Have either of you guys watched Travelers?
On Netflix? No. Okay. I started, I think I got through, isn't that, who's that stars in it?
Eric McCormick.
Yes.
From Will and Grace.
Yes. So I started watching it. I got an episode and a half into it. It was slow to start for me, but I like it. I like the concept. Yeah. Let's put it that way. I like the concept a lot.
Yeah. Season three just came out, so I'm going to be watching that soon.
Okay.
Oh, there was one I missed. As well, when you're done talking about this one.
What were you saying, John?
Hang on a second. Whenever you're done with that, one other thing I wanted to bring up that I hadn't talked about was the Academy Award nominations.
Okay. So really quickly, Devin.
There was one that people were talking about. It was like Taken in Plain Sight or something like that. Have you heard?
Abducted in Plain Sight. Yes, yeah. I did watch that.
Is that one I should watch and discuss?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about Jan Broberg, and Jan Broberg is – I've actually met her before. She's a Utah actress. She was in a couple of those early Mormon movies like Mobsters and Mormons and Baptists at a Barbecue and one or two others, I think. and she gets abducted by a neighbor, and it is such an insane documentary. It does one thing that I don't really like. It does reenactments. So it does all these grainy 70s looking films. And at first I thought it was from Home Movies and it's like, oh no, it's just doing reenactments. But the story is so unbelievably wild that my jaw is just on the floor that actually happened, that her parents could be that naive and gullible that just this Mormon guy in the 70s could fool so many people and just talk people into doing such incredibly stupid things. There's no way something like this would happen now. But it's just amazing just how naive everyone was in the 70s.
Don't be so sure.
I
watch the news. I see social media. Don't be so sure. Okay, I'll watch that one this week. Okay. And Alan, hopefully you will also. And then next week we can talk about it with spoilers and everything else.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah. I'm good with it. John?
Okay.
Go ahead, John. You wanted to talk Academy Awards.
Yes, I never got to talk about the nominations. The nominees for Best Picture, there are 8. Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star is Born, and Vice. And so, yes, Roma's on Netflix. And so if anyone wants to be in the know, that is nominated for Best Picture, as well as Best Director, Best Actress, Best Foreign Film, one or two others in there. It is good. It is kind of slow in parts, but there's this real craft to the way he makes it that just kind of sneaks up on you.
List that on that list, I am intrigued already that they've put Black Panther on that list. Not because I don't think it deserves it, but just wow, an action packed Marvel movie, big blockbuster, and it's on that list for Best Picture.
Yeah, ever since The Dark Knight wasn't nominated for Best Picture and they expanded it from 5, you had to wonder what's going to be the first comic book movie to ever get nominated for Best Picture, and it winds up being Black Panther.
It's a perfect option. It was a great movie.
Yep. So of those, I really don't know who's going to win. I know who I thought the front runner was. I thought A Star is Born would be the front runner, but Bradley Cooper was not nominated for Best Director. The Best Director nominees were Alfonso Cuarón for Roma, Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favorite, Spike Lee for Black Klansman, which is his first nomination. Congrats. Powell Kowski for Cold War, which is a foreign film nominee, and then Adam McKay for Vice. I personally am pissed that Bradley Cooper was not nominated, but Adam McKay was, because Vice wasn't that good a movie. But, you know, I mean, it's very well acted and all that stuff. It's just not a good movie. So, yeah, it's kind of up in the air. It could be Black Panther. Black Panther won the SAG Award for Best Cast last week. I'm rooting for Black Klansman or A Star is Born, but it could be Black Panther. It could be Green Book. Even Bohemian Rhapsody seems like it could have a shot. So who knows?
Oh, you know, and by the way, since you mentioned Green Book, I did go see that since we last recorded, because we went and saw it on Martin Luther King Day. Wow, John. Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah. Really, really enjoyed that movie a lot.
Yep.
So. Good. Okay, next on the nominees, who else have we got out there?
Well, best actor is Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper for A Star is Born, Willem Dafoe for At Eternity's Gate, which is this tiny, tiny budgeted movie where he plays Vincent Van Gogh, Rami Malek from Bohemian Rhapsody, and Viggo Mortensen from Green Book.
Kate,
yeah.
Why Viggo Mortensen versus Ali? Because I think Ali's performance in that show was just as good.
Ali is nominated for supporting actor.
Okay. I can do that then.
It's really, I mean, it's a great buddy movie, but it kind of is, it's really about Viggo's character. And then once Ali shows up, it's this buddy comedy drama.
Right.
So yeah, Viggo for best actor, Mahershala Ali for best supporting actor. The other supporting actor nominees are Adam Driver for Black Klansman, Sam Elliott for Star is Born, Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me, and Sam Rockwell for Vice. I think Sam Rockwell for Vice is a terrible nomination. One, Sam won last year, and two, his George W. Bush is just an absolute cartoon, just a dribbling, drooling idiot.
Okay.
Best actress, Yalitza Arapeggio for Roma, Glenn Close for The Wife, and she seems to be the front runner right now. Glenn Close has never won an Oscar. Never really realized that.
That's a travesty.
Like she would have won one. Yeah.
That is.
Really? She never won? Olivia Colman for The Favorite, Lady Gaga for Star is Born, and Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me? Supporting actress, Amy Adams for Vice, Marina de Tavira for Roma, Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk, and Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz for the favorite.
Interesting. So
that, I think that one's a wide open category.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Okay, that's your headliners then.
Yep.
For the Academy Awards. So I'll be, and when is the Academy Awards? They're what, in February?
February 20 something.
Yeah, the end of February.
24th-ish.
So
February 24th.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's your list of headliners for the Academy Awards. A lot of great people and movies on the list. I think that's it. It's been a good show. We've talked about a lot. Anything else anybody can remember to throw in, or I think we've hit everything. And the chirps and the quiet, that means we've hit everything.
We hit everything. All right.
So thank you all for joining us for yet another edition of Jedi and Germs. We thank you for being here every week. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. Get the word out. Invite others to join in the discussion and listening to us, to download us. Again, download us wherever you listen to podcasts. It's Jedi and Germs. Please leave us a review. We would appreciate the reviews very much. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.